I am just an ordinary woman who has never had visions. But I will tell you what I can about this world I know and about the other worlds I do not know personally. I don't even dream at night, for if I could dream, I would know more than I do. People who dream hear and see many important things. We believe in dreams. In sleep, people can live a completely different life from real life. But I only know what every child learns from his mother. For mothers tell children stories at bedtime to put them to sleep. And it is from these stories we learn about things. I've never forgotten the old tales I heard from my mother. I've told them to my children and grandchildren. And I will tell them to you. This is a story about the things in the sky.
The weather, with its storms and snows, was once an orphan child who was so cruelly treated, as orphans often are, that he went up into the sky to take revenge. That's where the bad weather came from that ruins hunting and brings hunger. The stars, too, are people who suddenly raised themselves from the earth and were fixed in the sky. Some hunters were out chasing a bear when they all rose up in the air and became a constellation of stars. Every constellation has such a story. The northern lights are a celestial ball game. They flicker over the sky like a ball being kicked around by players running on a field. The rainbow is the shape of a great doorway, perhaps to some world we still do not know. But it is so far away that no one has to be afraid of the lovely colored light in the sky. This is a story about the thunder and lightning.
Once in a time of hunger, the people were on the move looking for better hunting. Coming to a wide rushing river, the men made a ferry out of the kayaks by tying them together with thongs and brought the women and children across. There were two orphans whom nobody would bother about. In the hungry times, people only had enough for their own children, so no one took them, and they were left behind on the shore. They stood there, the little boy and little girl, watching their people go off without them. How would they live? They had nothing to eat and did not know how to take care of themselves. They wandered back to the old campsite to look for something to eat. The girl only found a piece of flint, and the boy an old leather boot sole. The boy said to his sister, "After the way we have been treated, I can't bear to be a human being any longer. What can we turn into?" "Caribou," his sister suggested, thinking of the warm herds and the moss to eat. "No," he answered, "for then men would spear us to death." "Seals?" she asked. "No, for then we would be torn to death for food." And in this way they named all the creatures, but there wasn't one that wasn't a victim of man. Finally, the sister proposed turning into thunder and lightning. "That's it," said her brother, and they became airy spirits and rose into the sky, the girl striking sparks with her flint, and the boy banging his piece of leather like a drum, making the heavens flash and thunder. They soon revenged themselves on the people who left them to starve. They made so much thunder and lightning over their camp that everyone died of fright. And that way, people discovered that thunder and lightning could be very dangerous indeed.
These are magic words for hunting caribou. You, caribou, yes, you. Long legs, yes, you. Long ears, you with the long neck hair. From far off, you're little as a louse. Be my great swan, fly to me, great bull caribou, boo, boo. Put your footprints on this land I'm standing on, so rich with the lichens you love. See, I'm holding in my hand the reindeer moss you're dreaming of. So delicious, yum, yum, yum. Come, caribou, come. Come on, move those bones, move your leg bones back and forth and give yourself to me. I'm here, I'm waiting, just for you, 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 caribou, appear. Come here.
This is a song written by Norcott when he was 10 years old.
When I go out for caribou cow, I get myself a caribou cow. But my friend, some hunter he is, he's lazy as a dog. Big shot. He's lying in the igloo dreaming of big game. Friend, you better practice on caribou before you go out on the ice and face the claws and jaws of the white bear or the horns of the black muskox charging you, poor you and your little spear. This is a song that Orpingalik wrote to taunt his rival in singing and hunting.
I know you, my friend. The way you talk, one would think you never lost a race. Well, I dare you. The next time a caribou with a rack of great antlers swims across that lake over there and the weather is so cold the kayaks ice up, making them really hard to paddle, let's chase it then. I mean, let's just the two of us race with our wives watching from the shore. Who do you think will come in last? I'll tell you who. Remember that time long ago when the two of us were young and the kayaks went like a pack of wolves after a caribou out on the big lake there? I clearly remember you couldn't paddle nearly fast enough, but trailed well behind me, my friend. And you expect me to sing your praises now?
This is a song that Orpingalik wrote at a time when he was very sick.
My biggest worry is this, that the whole winter long, since fall, I have been sick and helpless as a child. Ay, me. As long as I'm in this sorry condition, I really think it would be better if my wife left me, for I'm not much of a husband anymore. I should be taking care of her and getting food. What good am I now that I can't get up on my 2 feet? Have you forgotten what a man you were, I ask myself. Try to remember the beasts you hunted. Remember, and be strong again. Yes, I remember once coming on a great white bear who thought he alone was a fighter. What a battle we had. He came straight at me across the ice, rising high on his hind legs. We grappled, and again he threw me down, but I didn't let go until he was dead. When the bear came out of the water that day and lay down calmly on the ice, he thought he was the only male around, but I came along and showed him. I also remember a seal I once got in a time when we were all weak with hunger. Everyone was still asleep when I went out on the ice that morning and luckily found the breathing hole of a seal. That blubbery beast was in there all right, about to come up for a breath of air, but he heard me, the sly one, and waded to one side under the thick ice where I could not spear him through the hole. But just as I was ready to give up, he made a false move, and I got my harpoon into him, and we had his blubber and blood for breakfast that day. Now, with me sick, there is no blubber in the house to fill the lamp with. Spring has come, and the good days for hunting are passing by, one by one. When shall I get well? My wife has to go begging skins for clothes and meat to eat that I can't provide. Oh, when shall I be well again? I can't understand it. I was once a hunter, but now I've come to this. But I was a hunter. I remember a fat caribou cow swimming out in the open water. And I went after her in my kayak, hardly believing I could ever catch up. I chased hard. I almost feel strong again remembering it. And other kayaks were chasing too, thinking they would get the caribou first. They were already shouting cries of victory, but I put everything I had into my paddle. Oh, I remember now how it feels to be a real man again, and I won the race. It was my caribou, all mine, and the others got nothing at all.
This is the story of the Tunrit man who was too lazy to hunt caribou. Tunrit, you know, prefer hunting seal. His job in the caribou hunt was to go out on the land and scare up animals down to the crossing place where the kayaks waited. But this one was a tired Tunrit, and he lay down to rest and passed the rest of the day resting. He didn't want to admit he had done this. So he rubbed his boot soles against a sharp stone. And when he came home that night, he said, "What a day hunting caribou," and showed his worn-out soles to illustrate how far afield he had gone. So this way he used to rest all day and go home only at evening in time for dinner and sleep. His wife was kept busy making him new soles. "My man," she thought, "what a walker." But meanwhile, few caribou were coming to the crossing place, and the others decided to spy on him. They followed him and saw him lay down and rub his soles against a big white stone. Lying down walking, he rubbed his soles to and fro until there were holes in them, and when evening came, they saw the walker limp home to his tent exhausted. So they found him out and named this stone the Soul-Wearer Outer. That famous soul-wearing stone still exists in our land and is still used, they say, by some of our biggest walkers. Leaving the white bear behind in his realm of sea ice, we set off for our winter hunting grounds on the inland bays. This is the route we took. First, we made our way across dangerous Dead Man's Gulch, and then crossed High in the Sky Mountain. Circling Crooked Lake, we followed the course of the river over the flatlands beyond where the sleds sank in deep snow, up to the crosslets. Oh, sweaty work, I tell you, helping the dogs. You think I even had a small fish or a piece of muskox meat to chew on? Don't make me laugh. I didn't have a shred on me. The journey went on and on. It was exhausting pushing the sled along the lakes around one island and over another, mushing, mushing. When we passed the island called Big Pot, we spit at it just to do something different for a change. Then after Stony Island, we crossed over Water Sound at the Narrows, touching on the two islands like crooked eyes that we call, naturally, cross-eyed islands, and arrived at Seal Bay, where we camped and settled down to a winter season of hunting at the breathing holes of the delicious small blubber beasts. Such is our life, the life of hunters migrating with the season.